Ruben, on the other side of this whole ledger is a, I'm not going to call him cornerstone piece of the Phillies franchise, but I will call him, what's the right word for Alec Boehm? He is a...
potential cornerstone?
He's a...
a future
borderline,
piece.
Borderline foundational piece.
Yeah, foundation is better than cornerstone.
So, Ruben, he got benched.
Yep.
Your thoughts?
Well, he got benched because a number of things. One, he's not hitting at all. I mean, he hasn't hit for since the time he hurt his hand, even before that. I mean, since...
I think it's 170 since September is his average.
September, it's not very good.
Yep.
And he's been struggling. But on top of that, you know, he had the ability and had matured after, like, the whole incident with the fans and all that other business. He sort of, you know, transcended that and moved up forward. Well, the frustration level that he's showing is not just a show right now. I think it's gotten to the point where it's affecting his next at bat. It's a, you know, if you're frustrated, you know, the great players, they figure out a way to, okay, let's move forward. That's why they're great. I had a bad at bat. Well, it feels like the at bats from at bat to at bat, they're leaking into each other to the point where he's allowing it to affect him. This is supposed to be one of the best all around hitters on the team. He has that ability. He's a gap to gap hitter. He's so important on this club because he's the one guy who doesn't swing out of the zone. But he's really struggling right now because he's
it's emotional.
He's in between. I think it's an emotional thing.
Immaturity.
We've seen him throw tantrums for the last month,
three or four of them. Why does he act like an impetuous child instead of, you know, bucking up?
Well, can I tell you what?
Something going on with him emotionally. It's affecting every single at bat.
Let's start with the good news of why. The good news of why he's reacting that way is because he really wants to win, and he generally believes in his abilities to do it, generally. But he's struggling lately, and I'm sure his confidence is low, and he's pressing. Ruben, to your point about the hand or the wrist or whatever, is it a hand or a wrist? I'm forgetting.
It's a hand. He actually did a check swing, and it just... I mean, it strained his hand. There's so many different
That's tough, man.
Muscles and stuff in there.
I mean, you know, if you don't have your hand as a baseball player,
you can't play.
And let me say this, Ruben, and John, I was so thrilled, not the right word. I was happy to see Rob Thompson take quick action. I was really, really happy with that because, listen, I hope it's not the first time he takes quick action. For the Phillies to win the World Series, they're going to have to win 10 more games. They're probably going to have to play another 14 to 16 games to win a World Series. You're going to have your – buckle up, guys. You're going to have your losses mixed in here. And the reality is there are going to be times where players struggle. And I need Rob Thompson, and we've said it all year, to be nimble. And this showed
– Alec Boehm is a – geez,
he's a
major factor – to our offense.
He finished second in the National League in doubles. Yeah, that's a
think about it. Think about the RBI.
He hasn't had a whole lot of them in the last couple of
years. He was up by like seven doubles or something.
Think about the way he started this season. We're thinking he's going to lead all of baseball in RBI.
That was an all-star.
That was spectacular the way he started, and then the second half. Like, or whatever it was. What was it? And how can we be sure that this does not happen moving forward?
I don't know that it can, number one, because he should be past this. I mean, he's at the point in his career where this stuff should not be
affecting him. 28 years old.
Yeah, it's not. He's not a child
anymore. But look, you bring him back for game three.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. And I believe it had to do with his RBIs. He wanted to get to it at 100 mark so badly. That I think that was the one goal. I mean, everybody has goals, right? You know, you got Wheeler who wants the Cy. You got, you know, all types of guys who want, you know, a certain amount of runs scored or RBIs, whatever the case may be. But that RBI number, I mean, it ended up with, what, 97 or 96? I'm not sure what
the final number was.
Yeah. But he didn't get to 100, and I think there was a frustration level for him that got him to that point. And you know, at some point, you got to say, hey, man, forget about it. I got to work on my next at bat. I got to be like Roy Halladay in the very next pitch. I got to worry about that next hitter. I mean, and he's got to be able to do that, and he has not been able to
do
that.
No question.
And he's taken out of the lineup because of it.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to just, I mean, thrilling is a word to use, victory yesterday by the Phils. Your thoughts on it. And I think more than anything, I'm really most curious today to tap into your emotions about it. I mean, yesterday was an all-time roller coaster as a Philadelphia sports fan, where for about an hour and a half, I think a lot of us felt, I think my team's season is getting near ending. You know, I mean, is this it? Is this what we get? Is this what we waited 11 and a half months for? Another crack at October, and this is it? I mean, that's what it felt like for a good while yesterday. And then, obviously, Bryce, credit Trey, he gets on base. Bryce hits the homer. Castellanos hits the homer. You're back in it. You're alive. And it was an amazing victory. So your thoughts, your emotions on the roller coaster, and obviously what lies ahead, which we'll talk more about tomorrow. But, you know, the simple fact is it's now a best of three. You know that Nola starts game three. Ruben, let me just ask you this, then we'll get right back to the phones. If Nola loses game three, do you consider Wheeler for game four at all?
You don't, but I have him ready just in case he might have to close the game out. I mean, it's a do or die. So I put him. I might put him in the pen, and he's done it once before. I'd stick him in the pen.
And then you're Sanchez scrapping it together?
Then you're scrapping it together. That's what I would do. That's not going to happen, but that's what I would do.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ken right now in Cinnaminson. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing well, Ken.
Hey, listen, so anybody who calls today or claims that when the sixth inning started, they just absolutely knew in their hearts that the Phillies were getting up off the mat, and this, they're so full of crap. You should just hang up on them, okay? But
well, no one has said that yet, Ken.
No one has thought that, Ken, at all.
I think it goes to show how much, I mean, we all had a shudder through us.
Oh, we were walking through the coals.
At least we all define as 99.5% of us. Let's put it that way. No question.
There are several people in the Delaware Valley who can attest to it from my text conversation yesterday.
Sure.
That I was with the majority. But listen, this is what makes baseball so great, like better than anything else, because you don't have timeouts, you don't have halftime, you don't have built-in TV breaks at a stoppage of play, and so there's nothing that can take you from high to low to high again in the blink of an eye, like baseball, because it's just got its own rhythm, it's got its own cadence, and it's what makes baseball great. And, you know, for a lot of the younger people out there who have kind of turned their backs on baseball, just because it doesn't give you that immediate gratification, and there's this impression that there's not something constantly happening,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they all have the attention spans of a gnat. You got to sit down and watch a game like this and truly
appreciate. Well, Ken, here's the good news related to what you're talking about there. This team over 3 years now has definitely grabbed hundreds of thousands of youngsters in the Delaware Valley. I mean,
it was the Phillies' fault that they were not there for the longest
time. That's right.
Because for basically a decade,
that's right,
they were terrible.
Similar to what the Flyers have had for about a decade now. I mean, it matters.
And so you lose those youngsters when they're like, this team sucks for 10 years.
I'll tell you, that's right.
You know, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but it feels like if they win this series, that the rest of it is going to be just they're going to walk.
I strongly encourage you, Ken, not to get ahead. Because here's the deal. That's what people were saying 2 years ago against Houston. That's what people were saying last year against Arizona. I just don't subscribe. And Ken, great call as always. Here are the two cautionary tales I'm going to put out about this postseason. I'm going to go in reverse order. Cautionary tale number one is I beg people to not assume the Phillies are going to win it all if they win the series. Don't assume it. Because you know who else is going to win this week? Three other teams. They're all going to feel good. Their fan base is all going to feel good. There's going to be four teams at the end of this week advance. If the Phillies are one of them, that's great. It doesn't mean they win it all just because we're in a good mood. That's point one. Point two. And I should have said this before the postseason. I thought of it, and I just never got around to saying it on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. Buckle up. Because what happened the last 2 years when the Phillies never trailed in a series until they lost is unusual. You play this many rounds of the postseason, you play this many games, you're going to have your game where the closer blows into the ninth. You're going to have your game where the starting pitcher freaking stinks and gets bombed in five outs and has to get pulled out. I mean, this stuff happens, and it was very rare the last 2 years. I mean, Ruben, you know, the last 2 years, they just, I think they started both years. I have to do the math quickly, but I think it was like 9-3 both years out of the gate, something like that. Like they just, and it was the same pattern both years. Swept the first round 2-0, win game one of this round, lose game two, win game 3 and 4, win that series in 4. Next round, win game one, win game two, lose game three. It was the exact same pattern.
Well, the Padres series, it was win one, lose
okay,
two,
one,
and
one.
Then win
My
three.
Fault. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But, I mean, basically, they did it with ease until they hit the brick wall. And my point when I say buckle up is normally for a team, look at the Eagles, guys. Let me say this about the Eagles, the last time we had a championship in town. Julio Jones could have caught the ball. They could. The Eagles could have not converted to 4th-and-1 that Zach Ertz caught. The referees, the replay guys could have, I'm not saying should have, but certainly could have, ruled Corey Clement's touchdown or Zach Ertz touchdown not to be a catch.
I don't understand what I'm saying is exercise.
He's just showing how close it can be to not
winning.
Oh, yeah. It's one pitch. Like, it's one pitch. It's one situation.
Buckle up.
Because the Mets are a really good team.
And they are.
They're going to push you to the limit because they got the mojo working right now.
They're a fantastic team right now.
They're playing really good.
And they are.
And they've committed to themselves. It's one thing that they did not do, and they've, from Pete Alonso to Brandon Nimmo, the guys that were there when I was there, these guys have are now understanding what it takes to win, and it was Lindor.
Well, I need them to lose that understanding quickly. They need to lose that brain.
But they finally learned that, and that meeting that Lindor had, I mean, they became accountable.
Richie, a question for you: true or false? Lindor, Alonso, and Nimmo are the two most annoying players in baseball. I think so.
I think Alonso is, for my money, as annoying as it can get.
I mean, that little swing thing he does when he warms up and he does that swing that goes about halfway stops. He's the only person I've ever seen do that.
It is incredible.
I can't stand that guy.
Yeah. I have major issues just watching him move.
And like his face annoys me.
Every movement that he makes feels like a personal affront.
No, I literally said about Nimmo when he was chirping. I don't know what he was chirping. I turned to the person next to me and said, he's got a real punchable face.
I understand it.
He's smiling. He's always smiling, man. Very religious guy. He's a very nice guy. And if he chirped something, it was actually probably something nice.
Ruben, don't defend him. Go back to the man. He's a nerd.
Bless you guys.
Bless you all.
Yeah, that's what he was yelling.
Keep running to first base on walks, loser.
Ruben, here we go.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay. I don't love the guy, but he's a nice kid.
All right, let's go to Ed right now.
I like his hustle. Ed. I mean, I'll give him that.
Ed, what's going on, pal?
So I got to be fully transparent. Saturday, even though it was a bye week, I was carrying so much of that resentment and anger towards the Eagles into that game. And I just, I wasn't really things in that game were getting to me, like how much. Well, A.J. Pierzynski's insufferable. I don't care what anyone else said. Like, he is not my favorite guy.
Not my favorite either. Not my favorite at all.
And after Alvarez,
and it's incredible how much he looks like J.D. Vance. I mean, it's really bizarre.
It is unbelievable. I said it to my wife. I said to Emily, we're watching the pregame. It was like, what is this?
He looks just like J.D. Vance. It's really bizarre.
I will tell you.
His commentary is annoying, though.
He's spot on with his comments. He's spot on.
Some of them.
He's spot on. He knows the game. The man is not a dope. He is a smart baseball man.
I have a suggestion for everybody out there who hates the national announcers. Sync up your TV to Scott Fransky, L.A.
Everybody.
I love it. It's phenomenal.
That's a good call.
I do it for Mike and Merrill. And you just got to massage it a little bit with stopping your TV on pause, and you can marry them.
You know, 99.999% of the world call them Merrill and Mike, but you went Mike and Merrill.
I had the same thought.
It's like Mindy and Mork. I used to watch Mindy and Mork back in the day.
You're trying to make it seem like I'm critical.
I'm a big Andy and Amos guy.
I'm joking. All right, go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, and then Alvarez, who's a glorified hype man. I mean, he's Johnny Gomes from 08, not much more. So that was annoying me, too. But then, yesterday, I was just in a better frame of mind. I had my garage beers from Jason Kelce. I had a different jersey on. Like, everything just kind of, and like those garage beers taste a lot better after a victory. They're quite amazing, actually. So, you know, I just, and one other thing that was so good about yesterday is, oddly enough, Castellanos and Rojas were the only people in our lineup who didn't strike out. And that may not seem a lot, like a lot, especially with Rojas, but the ball, the slowly hit balls in play, like that led to an error from Sosa.
Totally.
Like, you never know, like, what could happen. So that was just kind of like, you know, a little thing. You know, it doesn't really make headlines, but, you know, keep putting balls
look,
in play.
Look, it matters. Carlos Ruiz won a World Series game with a ball that went about 45 feet. I mean, you know, you really are not going to win if you don't put the ball in play. All right? You just.
I mean, the JT putting ball in play scored Stott. That was huge. 100%.